Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Friday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with a mid-morning commodity market report. Let's see how futures are trading. Hard red winter December wheat is 604 and a half down a half. Soft December, 515 and a half down 1.5. December corn, 347 down 5.25. March, 360 down 5.25. May, 369 down 5.25. July, 376.25 down 5.25. Go out to December of 15, 392 and a half. Now a quarter down 4.75. November soybeans, 956 down 10.5. January, 964 down 10.25. July, 987.75 down 9. December soybean meal, 329.70 down 4.90. December soybean oil, 32.18 down 18, now down 19. October live cattle, 164.67.5 down 57.5. October feeders, 238.85 down 135, and December lean hogs, 90.12.5, and they are down 20.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
Guarantee your seats at our first ever WILL Ag Farm Assets Conference on November 24th. We got straight talk from our U of I experts on the ARC-PLC decision, crop insurance and farmland values in 2015. And all of our on-air analysts will be on hand to bring you the latest on marketing corn and soybeans and cash grain ideas. Get your tickets today for the meeting at the Marriott Hotel on the Illinois State University campus by calling 800-898-1065 or on our secure website at willag.org. Tickets are just $25 and include lunch and parking in the hotel parking garage. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics in Atchison, Kansas. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Since the opening bell today, futures continue to let a little bit of air out of the tire. On a weekly basis, though, the charts don't look terribly bad, especially given all the outside factors in the marketplace this year, which have yanked the dollar and treasuries and the Dow Jones index around. What do you make of this week, and could we potentially be in for a little bit higher futures trade next week?
Well, I think short term helps bring about where we're headed in the medium term, Dave. We've had the demand, the weather, and the currencies, and you touched on all those. Those have been the key three feature players that have allowed this market to find support. And so now we have the potential for harvest weather opening up in some key areas next week. We have the potential for Mato Grosso to find maybe 1.5 to 3 inches of rain with 90% coverage on the most recent CPC forecast for the next 14 days. And so now we have overbought conditions on a daily chart that probably need to correct. And so we need to probably watch the 40-day moving averages in corn and in wheat to see if they hold their major support. Cash basis becomes very important as a barometer to the trade next week, I think, as the harvest opens up, especially for the soybeans, because along with the planting delays in Mato Grosso that's been some of the fuel to the fire, the upside in the soy complex, Mato Grosso came in at 9% planted. That's 18% behind last year. Some private consultants are already saying now that they will have very little beans to sell in January. So you can start to see the medium term take shape, and I think the last piece of the puzzle for the medium term in next week's technical trade and the cash basis trade is that is the now the trade backing away from the big crop getting bigger? Because I've certainly started to hear more of that, and it kind of tails up with the conversation we had on Commodity Week about the lighter test weights and about the bean harvest being very difficult to get the beans out and some of the truck lines not being there this year. And so I think we're on our way to figuring out by the time we get to the end of this month, essentially, whether we've made our lows in this market in that $9 level roughly in beans and $3.20 roughly level in the corn are major lows at this point.
And certainly the further west and the further north you get, it appears that the yields will not be as good and as rich as they are in Illinois and Indiana. And we go back to that chart that we saw off the WASDE report, or the crop production report, which lowered population and raised test weight. But, I mean, the only thing above it was 2004. I cannot imagine a crop that would come in above 2004 in test weight.
I really can't either, because I'm getting more reports like you that the test weights and just the fact that they're just not, the yields just aren't as great as they were early on, is putting more and more clients telling me that they're probably not going to do any better than last year. And when you look at the state-by-state numbers for Illinois and where they're at, and for Indiana where they're at, and for Kansas even where it's at, I would be very surprised. But I think the other thing that, okay, so we have the supply-demand fundamentals mm-hmm. maybe coming around, that especially in the wheat after the report last week, the supply is no longer getting bigger than the demand. And so we don't need to take prices lower to seek out demand, and the weekly export sales really showed that. The weekly export inspections really showed that as well, with the corn hitting, what, almost a 76 million bushel export sales week, and we see a marketing year high when it comes to the corn. And then we had 126,000 tons of unknown sales reported after that. And so you have the demand on your side. And in the medium term, I don't think that's going to change. You have the currencies on your side. I don't think that's going to change in the medium term. And so then you're down to the weather and what damage it can do to the crop from here on out. And so I think things are looking up, and I think the market bears out there are starting to work away from the idea that we need to go lower into November. It doesn't mean it's a rocket ship to the upside. It's still a seller's market to take advantage of, in other words, because there is still a big crop to be sold. It's just maybe we have a little bit of a chance if the Ebola situation doesn't get worse and the black swan of the outside markets doesn't rear its head, we have a chance to sell some better value levels than maybe we thought 2-3 weeks ago.
Well, I mean, if we can turn this thing sideways, the market and corn and beans sideways, and have some suspected or fairly confirmed resistance and support levels, we can work within that to make some money.
I think so, Dave, because you not only had the futures market probably going into the 2.3, 2.4 billion bushel carryover mindset, you also had the cash market saying we can't handle this from a railroad freight standpoint and a cash basis standpoint. And so essentially you've had the best of both worlds when it comes to the short-term news. You've got the currencies and the demand coming together and the USDA report and the wheat to help the futures market side, and then you've got this delay in harvest and delay in planting in Brazil that's helping the basis side. And that's why basis is such a huge feature to me, as are the technicals like we talked about at the end of the week last week.
And the Argentina farmer and the Brazilian farmer is way behind in its sales.
That's exactly right. And, you know, you still have that re-asset allocation going on where the livestock is holding pretty much steady, but the equity markets have dropped about 6% since the end of the quarter of the third quarter, and yet the agriculture and grains have, guess what, rallied about 6%. So you can almost see a direct correlation there where you're adjusting and reallocating those assets and evening up the playing field. Why? Because if you're in deflationary territory, the Fed's not going to raise rates, and so you keep quantitative easing going. If you're in an inflation territory, the Fed's going to raise rates, but that's also pretty good for commodities too.
And I think we'll just have to wait and see. And from a timing standpoint, and maybe the end of November before we know for sure if the bottom's there, but it just feels like it might be approaching.
Yeah, and I would
it.
Even move that up a month, because I think the chance now for a true technical retracement mm-hmm. and get into the Fibonacci and GAN lines would mm-hmm. be right here, right now, and not to lose any momentum. I think the biggest fear I have as I said on Commodity Week last week, is the Ebola. Mm-hmm. I think that 79-78 low in lead month crude oil on the West Texas crude oil is really a key low. I would not want to see West Texas Intermediate go any lower than that, because then maybe those outside commodities could start to pull down on the grains and pull down on the livestock. And I think gold is a player here as well.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great day, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Global Commodity Analytics, and he is in Atchison, Kansas. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.